Hannah Stanley and Dane Neal. If you're tuning in for Bill and Wendy, you're like, wait, what? No, it's just us. We'll be here with you for the first 2 hours, and then Mark Harmon and Andrea Darlis are going to take over the second 2 hours.
Yes.
And then Steve will be in here with the business Windhurst business lunch in the meantime.
Now, when Andy Avalos walked in, when he walked in,
we jumped up.
We jumped up, right? Now, this is an opportunity. Hannah said, I met you years ago.
I remember that because Andy has been the pillar of weather in this city for that long.
A beloved news and weather figure trusted to give us, you know, the stats and the temperatures. And so 312-981-7200, if anyone wants to text in the time that they met Andy Avalos, I think it was a pleasant time. I actually met you maybe 10 years ago. You were enjoying some ribs at Ribfest in Naperville.
Oh, one of my favorite events. I love going there.
It's really, really outstanding. But
great,
we could
too.
Have, I was going to say, we could have Ribfest this weekend. It's
we could.
That we've had worse weather for Ribfest in the past. What is, I know it's El Nino.
It is.
What does that mean, and how long is this going to last? Because 1,000 high fives to everybody.
Well, what can we do to keep him here, make him stay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here we go. Well, first of all, this is a substantial El Nino. In fact, one of the most, one of the strongest El Ninos we've had on record, if not the strongest. And the sea surface temperatures off the coast of South America are running about 2.5 degrees above average.
Okay.
And that anomaly causes the upper level patterns to change in the jet stream configuration. Really, what that means is the milder Pacific air comes flowing in out of the west and into the Midwest, and we get the benefits of that, which of course is nice mild temperatures.
All right, so the wind is blowing over those oceans, and then they're coming, it's carrying all the way here.
Well, it comes over the Rockies, and then it descends, it sinks, it warms, compresses, and it works its way here and creates the anomaly warm temperatures. Now there's a big buckle in the jet stream over the next 24 hours, and of course that means we have a southwesterly flow aloft, so we're going to be tapping a lot of moisture. So this warmth is going to bring warmer temperatures, but it'll bring rain as well, and probably some fairly significant rain as we go through the weekend.
And that's why we've been having some flooding issues in the area, because we had that big snow and then it melted so fast and then we got rain on top of it.
Well, we haven't had a shortage of rain because we've had what storms we have had produced some fairly decent rainfall. And as you alluded to already, we've had two snows, both of which have melted. So we've got plenty of moisture. So we're not in any drought deficit. In fact, we're running a surplus, which is good news. But unfortunately, our friends in the Pacific Northwest are being pounded and inundated with torrential rains and flooding. That's also a byproduct of El Nino.
So one of the stronger El Ninos in recent memory, certainly in history. Now, I guess 62 degrees today, and you heard that the next warmest day was maybe 1800. I always wonder this, and what kind of weather, you know, gadgetry did they have back then? Was the thermometers made out of wood? Did they say, well, when the cow's tail goes this way, it means it's this degree? Like, how did they do it back then?
You know, one of my favorite gifts that I've ever received is one of these little sticks that looks kind of like a tripod, and there's a little rock that hangs from it.
It's a rock.
Yeah, and it says when it's wet, it's raining, and when it's white, it's snowing, and when it's hot, the sun is out. So, you know, right, many, many years ago, we're talking a couple of centuries ago, there was very little, if anything, other than observations, and no records were kept. So, really, substantial, accurate records weren't kept for more than, you know, 125 years ago.
I mean, when Clarence sweats, it's usually over 90. do you guys, in the weather elite, do you question some of those old statistics?
Yeah, we should. We do, and we should. You know, it's just a natural thing. Even today, with the technology that we have and all the instrumentation that we have, there's still a great room for variability, because some of the equipment that's being used today is, you know, decades old.
And I love it when the Farmer's Almanac comes out and they're like, well, we can't get married on June 5th because right. The almanac. And I was like, no, go to Avalos. Almanac Avalos. There's a difference. That's how you pick your wedding date.
Well, hey, that's awesome that you brought that up, Hannah, because I always wondered that, too. You know, for those meteorologists out there and people who do this for a living and have all of the stats and information at their fingertips, what's with the almanac? Is it someone's buying it, and I always hear from people, oh, it's always right. What do you guys think?
Well, you know,
Andy's like, I write it.
That's right. Actually, it's a side job that I have. I make a little extra income from it. Well, you know, it's a longstanding publication, and there are those who swear by it, and at times it can be extremely accurate. But, you know, as a rule of thumb, it's easy to say that in January you'll have periods of extremely cold weather with snowstorms,
right?
That, you know, will hit the Midwest. Well, you know, a groundhog could do that.
Yeah, don't plant.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, don't plant crops in January. Okay, thank you. That sounds like good, solid information.
But they always have really good tips in there, I have to admit. You know, you can find out things about, you know, how
bird in hand is worth doing, that kind of stuff.
Well, you know, how to get rust off a pipe, that kind of thing. You know?
That's awesome. Don't use Coca-Cola. They've proven that totally doesn't work. All right, so how long does this weather pattern, not this one specifically, mm-hmm. but the warmth, the unseasonably warm, is it going to be a milder summer? Is it going to be less humid? How long does this go on?
Well, you know, this is such a substantially strong El Nino. It's going to take a while to dissipate. And so it will have ramifications all the way through the first part of the year and could be through spring of next year. So that if this trend that's established itself continues for us, it doesn't mean we won't have cold spells and even some decent snowfall. It just means that the overall pattern will bring us what we've seen lately, which is unseasonably mild temperatures peppered with dry periods in between and an occasional snowstorm and bout of cold weather.
Is there anything that we can do as Chicagoans to make El Nino more comfortable?
Like to stay like, as long as
get
possible.
Get him a beverage, put the show he likes on TV.
You know, the mayor did quite a bit to keep the NFL draft back. So I'm wondering if maybe we can close some streets for El Nino and
let's have a parade.
Wave the Grant Park rental fee. We'll have a parade for it. Welcome it. Change the lights outside.
That would be a great idea. Yeah. I think that El Nino would probably love a parade.
I talked to him yesterday.
That's right.
He's like, I love a parade.
Jinx, show me a Coke.
It's on me.
Another thing that I was wondering, recently they had a climate summit, I think, right?
Yes.
Where they were talking about that. And one of the things we're getting countries that are maybe greenhouse gases or putting pollution into the air, getting everybody to kind of come to terms with what they need to do. And there was, and I think I saw this, where they were saying there are things that they can do to either stabilize or adjust or even reduce the temperature by a degree or two. Is that even possible? That seems super science.
Well, you know, actually, it does happen on a naturally occurring basis. And I can give you a perfect example of that. You know, we talk about temperatures that are increasing and decreasing, and we can get into climate change, and we can talk about how there's natural variability or if it's anthropogenic, meaning it's man-made. But a perfect example would be a significant volcanic eruption. If you have a Mount St. Helens or an El Chichon, which spews a large sulfur dioxide content cloud that circumnavigates the globe, the net effect of that could be 1 or 2 degrees of cooling that would last for a couple of years that would offset any global warming. So, you know, there are things that can be done both by Mother Nature and naturally occurring conditions. It doesn't mean that we, man, shouldn't do all we can to keep the planet as pristine as possible, because we should. Mm-hmm. We've only got one planet.
That's it.
You know, so as to the extent that we can control greenhouse gases and carbon dioxide and, you know, keep the planet as temperate as possible, then we should do that. But, you know, I would take issue with those who say that the science is absolutely positively 100% over and it's concluded and decided. We just don't really know that yet. And I'm sure I'll get a lot of flack over that from some people. But
texts are flying in. But 312-981-7200 if you disagree with Andy. But so you mentioned the volcanoes. So that ash goes up into the atmosphere mm-hmm. and that actually block some of that radiation?
Incoming acceleration, right.
Wow.
Yeah, so the net effect
Tell
is
that to
cooling.
The dinosaurs.
We are dropping knowledge on you people. This is fantastic.
Well, you know, and again, as I mentioned before, it's incumbent upon us, you know, to take care of the planet. It really is. And so everything that we can do to make sure that we maintain, you know, as pristine a planet as possible, not only here in the States, because we're always doing our part, but globally. So we can do all we can here. But if the rest of the country or the rest of the world, I should say, is not doing their part and still spewing all of these noxious gases and fumes into the atmosphere, it kind of offsets what we're doing here.
All right. So we've got this El Nino. We're loving this weather. We're going to be possibly in the 60s this weekend based on where we are in relation to the lake. But are we going to see wind chills at all? That's my biggest issue with winter. I like the snow. The snow is fine.
Look at her. She's worried about wind chill. We're
that's
talking about temperatures pushing 60.
Well, today, I'll say with the wind chill, we're down to 61.
61. Yeah. That's right. We don't calculate over 50. But the thing is, the interesting, I was mentioning on the air this morning, that as we go through the afternoon today, we're going to develop a light southeasterly wind, and it will actually turn cooler along the lakefront. Now, that's a phrase that's not normally very common in the month of December. It's
right.
Just not. And as we go through the weekend on a stronger south to southwest wind, we're going to pump in all those temperatures that'll push us into the upper 50s to low 60s. So we're awful close to the record. We're not going to hit it today because I'm thinking 55 will be our high. The record high, I believe, is 61, and then tomorrow it's 61, and we will hit 60, I believe, tomorrow. So darn close. The record high on Sunday is 67, and I'm thinking 62 is more accurate, so we're probably not going to hit that record. But again, anytime you're talking temperatures that are 20 to 25 degrees above the average for any particular time of year, that's substantial.
Yeah, I will happily take the silver or bronze medal on the records
that's
of
right.
weather. That's super fine. A 62 is okay. I'm fine with that for December 13th.
When you consider the fact that the typical overnight low for us is 22 degrees and the average daytime high as we go through the weekend is 35, and we're talking about readings that are pushing 60, that's a substantial anomaly.
And to have it be an average, if we go back to our high school and junior high math, that means that we've been way lower than that in the past.
Yes, we have.
The last couple of years have been almost, you know, I think as Chicagoans, we're used and we kind of take pride in suffering a little bit with but the last 2 years have been
brutal.
So cold.
You know what it did? It weeded out the week. They left.
Is that what it did?
That's what it did.
So that's why so many people are leaving the state. It's the weather.
Fun.
Well, they're coming back now because of El Nino then.
Of course they are.
Is that part of the tourism campaign? Come back to Chicago for El Nino.
Come back for the weather. Can you imagine that?
Welcome El Nino. There's huge signs out on the Eisenhower. That's why the traffic was so bad this morning. Andy Avalos, you can see him on NBC 5, Meteorologist to the Stars. That's what we call him. Thank you so much for your time.
He's so smart.
He's a meteorologist.
It's a pleasure.
They don't
thank
just
you.
Hand those titles out. All right. Thanks. Hannah Stanley and Dane Neal filling in today for Bill and Wendy. We'll be right back with your news after this.